Solving, or at least addressing, the Bay Area housing crunch requires data, and that's what the Bay Area Council provides. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with the Bay Area Council's Housing Policy Director about just what can be done to ease the housing crisis. And that starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. Thanks for dialing us up. This week, it's a themed show around housing, specifically low-income housing, as well as homelessness. We've pulled together the Bay Area Council, a business-supported policy think tank with firm data on the housing crush in and around the Bay. Then we will talk with the homeless and affordable housing czars of Oakland and San Francisco, not only about the numbers and the policies, but the technologies being applied to the crisis.
We need to start looking at communities like that that are transit-served, where we've invested billions of dollars in public transportation infrastructure, and say, can we take maybe some high-throughput streets and roads, some high busy corners, and upzone those to maybe four stories, maybe allow some multifamily six-unit buildings. We're not talking about Manhattanization of cities.
Homelessness in San Francisco actually dropped 1% last year. In Oakland, a proactive policy from the mayor's office is showing results. But as a region, how is the Bay Area responding to the dearth of affordable housing? And that conversation starts now.
Matt Regan, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Bay Area Council.
This week we're going to be talking a lot about homelessness in the Bay Area, tech's role in that, whatever it might be. We're going to speak with different groups, but we wanted to start with the Bay Area Council because you guys have data, real research that you can share with us. So let's just start there. You have a new poll, and frankly, I have not really been able to look deeply into the numbers, so I'll just let you run with it.
Yeah, every year the Bay Area Council conducts a poll of 1,000 Bay Area residents. We ask them questions about issues of common concern in the region. Obviously, currently housing, the cost of housing, the lack of housing, homelessness, all of these issues are front and top of mind for most people here in the region. So we focused a lot of the attention of the poll on housing. Got some interesting results. We're still going through the results and hashing out the data, but we're seeing, obviously, a continued and rising concern from Bay Area residents about the cost of housing.
Median home price in San Francisco last month touched $1.6 million, according to Paragon Real Estate Group. It seems to be a problem of inventory in a lot of ways. Does your data bear that out as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look long term at San Francisco and the Bay Area in general, we've seen a huge explosion in job growth and very, very little in terms of historic housing construction levels. If you look at us compared to, say, some of the Rust Belt cities in the Midwest, we're at actually lower per capita home construction than places that are experiencing economic recessions.
Wow.
So we have not responded to the economic growth in a manner that would make housing affordable or available.
Since you haven't been able to parse your new data, really, I mean, really get in there and hash it out, let's just stay anecdotal, okay? You've been with the council for quite some time. Yep. Let's speak about the mood. This can't be a new issue for people. You said it's a growing issue for your respondents, but within the Bay Area Council, I imagine you guys are kind of a mediator from all different sides.
Yeah, I mean, we are a business-sponsored public policy advocacy organization.
Right.
Probably, you know, a very large percentage of the Bay Area residents work for one of our member companies.
Right.
So we have, you know, we have a pretty broad perspective on a lot of these issues. We're a data-driven organization. We like to formulate policies based upon actual data, not political ideology or dogma. So we look at the numbers, and particularly as it relates to housing, as I've shared with you, the housing problem is basically a supply and demand problem.
Okay.
We are just not building anywhere near enough housing, even to accommodate organic growth. Let's take the tech, the new tech jobs off the map. Even without that large growth in the tech sector that we've experienced in the last decade, San Francisco and the Bay Area would still be very expensive places to live without that economic growth. We just have not been anywhere near as productive enough in generating new units of housing.
Bay Area Council, sponsored by businesses, isn't quality of life, which I would have to lump housing into that, part of the business climate, right? Part of the appeal. We know about the talent wars going on between tech companies and so forth, so on. But if you break it down to just where you lay your head at night, it's very difficult if you're making less than $125,000 a year to find something. I mean, just even if you look at rents, and not just San Francisco, I'm not going to just use the jewel that is this 7x7 place, but the entire Bay Area Council. Is that an ongoing thing? I mean, how do you address the quote-unquote quality of life?
Quality of life is critical. I mean, we are a as a region. Most of our large employers in the Bay Area are location independent. They could go anywhere.
Mm.
You know, we're not reliant upon natural resources in the ground that,
right.
that keep companies here. They're actually, they can be mobile if they choose to be so. And they came here because of the quality of life. They came here because we had great schools. We had a great environment. We had, at one point, we had reasonably good traffic and reasonably affordable housing.
Sayonara to that.
Yeah. None of those major quality of life indicators are trending in the right direction. And we need to fix that.
Data-driven, data drives policy. What are some things on the table that the Bay Area Council wants to continue to examine?
Well, we would obviously like to see...
When it comes to housing, of course.
Well, yeah. We would obviously like to see some changes in how we permit and build housing.
Okay.
And pay for as well.
Mm-hmm.
Housing is incredibly expensive to build here in the Bay Area. It's even more difficult to permit and get permission to build it. So at its core, what we have is a political problem. It's not a problem of lack of people willing to build it, lack of people willing to buy it and live in it. It's a political problem. It's a lack of willingness to permit it and allow it to be built.
There's an old saw that doing business in California is just simply difficult. It's often rated as one of the hardest places to do business. When you say a political bottleneck of sorts, do you mean regionally or state?
Well, it's statewide.
Is
but
it?
I mean, I, to your point,
but
I mean,
it's Sacramento that seems to be where it has to, stuff has to change there.
It's dual. There are policies that flow down from Sacramento that make it difficult for local governments to permit housing. It's actually more financially advantageous for local governments to permit office and hotel because they generate more tax revenue from
right.
those entities than from housing. So that's a state policy problem. The state needs to fix that. If the state does fix that, then it's incumbent upon the cities to then turn around and actually permit the housing. Some cities are willing to do it. Some cities have been very forward-thinking and progressive when it comes to housing policies. We're seeing, like, in Mountain View, the city there is working with Google to build 10,000 new units of housing. That's a huge percentage compared to Mountain View's existing housing stock,
right.
a huge upgrade. But then you also have places like Cupertino and Brisbane steadfastly refusing to permit very good projects that are being proposed in their cities, and they just do not want to change or carry their load and their share of the responsibility.
Mm. And Cupertino does stand out in that as an example. What about the San Jose / Google development they're thinking of doing? Were you guys, yeah, Diridon. Are you involved with that too? Or?
We're following it closely and we're
right.
very supportive. It is the type of gold standard development project that needs to take place. We need to be building homes adjacent to transit. We need to be upzoning where we have the ability to get people out of cars adjacent to job centers and public transportation.
When I was doing research for this, you said upzoning right there. Let's tease that out because it can sound like gentrification, but yep. it's not, right?
No. I mean, again, to going back to my earlier comment about supply and demand, if we have and continue to experience economic growth, people will come here for well-paying, high-paying jobs. If we don't provide housing stock for those people, they will displace existing residents. I mean, that's what's happening. We have refused to build new housing stock for the growing economy, and the people who've suffered are the people at the bottom of the economic ladder.
Is there a percentage goal for each development that is proposed? When it comes to affordable housing, has to be included X amount, maybe, of a plan?
It differs jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Here in San Francisco, for example, it's 19% of any new large multifamily development
okay.
is required to be below market rate. But that's, again, it has to be a jurisdiction by jurisdiction, even project by project negotiation, because if you set that number too high,
yeah.
the math no longer works for the project. And, you know, 19% of zero is zero.
That's a very good point. My penultimate question here, Matt Regan, Vice President, Bay Area Council, I'm going to give you one permitting problem that you could take off the table. What is the top one that you would like to see addressed so that things can get built?
I think you have to go to the zoning question. If you look at in San Francisco as an example, or let's use Berkeley as an even better example, the population of Berkeley in 1950 was 113,000 people. The population of Berkeley in 2010 is 112,000 people.
Hmm.
It has not changed. And that's primarily because Berkeley is exclusively single-family homes, and it has, I think, 3 BART stations and some great public transit. We need to start looking at communities like that that are transit-served, where we've invested billions of dollars in public transportation infrastructure, and say, can we take maybe some high-throughput streets and roads, some high busy corners,
mm-hmm.
and upzone those to maybe 4 stories, maybe allow some multifamily 6-unit buildings. We're not talking about Manhattanization of cities, but a little more densification, add, you know, make multifamily housing legal.
I guess I have one more question. That was my penultimate, I guess. What are next steps for Bay Area Council when it comes to affordable housing?
But we're working on a number of initiatives in Sacramento. We're sponsoring three bills ourselves this year. One would help SB 831. It would help homeowners, single-family homeowners, more easily permit and build accessory dwelling units in their backyards. Granny flats, in other words.
Mother-in-laws.
Yep. Yeah. So we're densifying single-family home neighborhoods. We're supporting, sponsoring a bill 1227 by Senator Nancy Skinner that would make it easier to build student housing. And then we have another bill, SB 828 by Scott Wiener, that would reform the RENA process. That's a little nerdy, the Regional Housing Needs Allocation, but it's a tool that helps us better analyze and calculate the math for figuring out how much home inventory we're going to need in the future. And then finally, I think the one bill everybody's talking about is Senator Wiener's SB 827, which goes to my earlier point about upzoning. And it's, for all intents and purposes, it makes multifamily housing legal in certain spots across the state that are transit served. And we're big supporters of that legislation as well.
Yeah, Scott's a friend of the show, and we follow him pretty closely too. Mr. Regan, thanks again for coming in, and thanks for helping us tease this out. Let's talk Hyperloop next time. Something a little
Absolutely.
More techy. Yeah. Okay?
I'll bring our transportation guy for that one.
Perfect. That was Matt Regan. He's the Housing Policy Director at the Bay Area Council. The Bay Area Council is a steadfast source of data and research, helping various Bay communities formulate and implement policies that address immediate civic needs, with none more paramount than affordable housing inventory and homelessness overall. For links to the Bay Area Council's research and for all of the sources we use for the show, just check out the story for this week. It's online at kgoradio.com. Or you can find us at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. That's also where you can get the sources and the music we use for each week. Coming up after the break, we continue to chase down the homeless issue, this time with Oakland's first dedicated housing executive.
So in Oakland, since 2010, we've seen a 55% increase in apartment rents. That's a huge pop in such a short amount of time. And that's forcing many Oaklanders who can no longer afford to live in the city, outside of the city, outside of the region, or onto our streets.
That's next, so please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.